many of you, well, let's find out. How many of you were prayed for last night for, there you go, turn my battery off. Some kind of sickness or problem in your body, and we prayed for you. Lift your hand. Anybody? Okay, good. How many of you felt the Lord touching you last night as we were praying for you? There's something going on. Just lift your hand. Good. That's quite a number of people. We're going to pray again in just a few minutes for some more people, and we've got a number of things we're going to do tonight. First of all, like I said, we'll pray for some people with physical problems or otherwise, and then I'm going to share from the Word of God like I did last night, continuing on what I shared, which was basically about heaven's secrets and asking the Lord, seeking Him out. He does want to be found. We'll talk a little bit about what happens when you find Him and some of the things that He's giving out to people all around the world that are searching out the Lord right now. And then we're going to have some prophetic ministry. Our whole team is here. Last night I had, six that are from my church, but we also have a seventh one who wasn't here last night, and he is a full-time itinerant minister. He's from Somerset, actually, in England, and well tell where he is now. And he lives in Cleveland, and I'd like him just to come up and kind of greet you tell you a little bit. Last night he was filling in for Martin Smith, because Martin Smith has been ill, and you taught in a training school, right? Pastor's training school. So I'd like Steve to come up and just take a moment and kind of share what's on his mind.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Well, I'm so thrilled to be here tonight. I sense the Spirit of the Lord in this place so wonderfully. As we were worshiping here, I just saw it just seems like waves coming from the windows, you know, and it's like I had my eyes closed, just waves of the Spirit of the Lord. Since I've been here in Manchester, let me just back up a little bit. I was born and raised in Somerset. I spent the first 17 years of my life there. And the last 17 years of my life have been in Ohio, so I'm really a displaced English person. And my accent is very mixed up, very confusing. But, since I've been here in Manchester, I've just really felt that the Lord is doing something special. He's getting ready to break out all over England. England is in dire straits. I hope you realize that. We really need revival. I don't think there's anything else that can heal this land except revival. Did you read the words of these songs that we were singing? What about that last one? Heal our land. We know that if we humble ourselves and turn from our ways, that you'll come. That's what we need. We need a sovereign move of God. We need God to come down and actually kiss this nation once again. He's done it before. He's moved in nations before, even in the last 100 years. Do you remember in 1904 we had the Welsh revival, where 100,000 came to the Lord? Almost the entire population of Wales at that time. It was started in Moriah Chapel with 16 teenagers. Actually, there were 15, and I think there was one little girl because they were babysitting a little girl at the time. But it started in a little chapel. What about the Hebrides revival of 1949 up in the north? It's like the whole island was captivated. Duncan Campbell said about that revival, he said it was hard to find a single person not seeking after God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that in Manchester? It was hard to find a single person not seeking after God. I want to see that. I want to see that in England. Are you hungry for that, people? This is your nation. This is our nation. Do you have a burden for your people? Are you hungry for that? Oh, I think something good is going to happen tonight. Listen, I think as we yield our hearts, as we sincerely sing worship and praise to the Lord, He is going to meet us. You know, the Lord wants to draw close to us. He wants to be a part of what's going on. It's all about Jesus, friends. I'm excited. Be ready, because I know He's moving. I just sense in the Spirit a rumbling underneath the surface, just like a volcano. Something massive just getting ready to burst forth. You know? Do you sense that at all? Do you sense that? Amen. I'm just going to hand it over to you, Steve. I'm just a little bit washed up here.
All right. Well, you know, in Cleveland is a city very similar to Manchester. I talked about last night, about 2.5 million people. We had something recently happen in our city as we've been praying for revival and asking for the Lord to come visit. Is downtown Cleveland, the pipes that carry the water underground broke open. It was the strangest thing. They broke open, flooded the streets of Cleveland, shut down the inner city, inner part of the city, and actually it broke open, flooded the streets, and then froze. So it was quite a sight, and it took them, a long time to get the thing straightened up. But we saw that, and we saw it as like a prophetic picture. I mean, it was a terrible thing that happened. But we started praying into that and saying, Lord, do that in a spiritual way in this city. Break open the ancient wells and allow them to flood the streets of our city until the whole city stops and its attention comes upon that water that's flooded the cities. And I want to see that happen in cities all over the world. I think Manchester is one of those cities the Lord wants to visit. You've got a heritage here where the Lord desires to visit this area, and we ask that He would touch it even now. In fact, let's all just stand for a minute. We're going to pray. Is there something wrong with this microphone? Sorry? Just going to pray over Manchester and ask for the hand of the Lord to just rest right now upon it. In fact, stretch out your hand kind of somewhere in some direction toward Manchester and Salford, this whole area right here. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that You would visit this land, Lord. That You would come and visit this land. We pray, Lord, that just like in Cleveland, You would break open the depths and allow Your water to flow in the streets of this city in the name of Jesus, Lord. Just let it come. Let it come. And Lord, like that song said, let it begin in each one of us right here, right now in this place in the name of the Lord. Now let it come. Let it just come and sink into your heart right now. Oh, more, Lord. More, deeper, deeper. In Jesus' name, amen. Now greet about five people and tell them, I believe revival's coming to Salford. Farther away. Okay, you may be seated. And I talked to the team beforehand and just alerted them that I'd like a couple of them. They've been praying for this area, and they're prophetic people. And I said, see what the Lord gives you for this Manchester, Salford area, whatever God has for you. So I'm going to call a few of them to come up and just share quickly, like 2 minutes or so, just something that... Little bites and pieces and appetizers of what God's given them. So Rita, come up and share something. Rita is not a meter maid. I want you to know that. Okay. All right.
Well, first of all, I just want to say it's a real privilege to be here. I've been looking forward to this for a while. And I really have had a lot of fun. And it's really neat just to meet a lot of people. You have been very hospitable and really just have a real heart from the Lord. That's really obvious. But coming here, it's really neat to come out of your own area and come into a new area. And you kind of come with a sense of having fresh eyes, fresh ears, and appreciate and maybe can sometimes be a little bit more sensitive to really what God is doing right now. But even coming over here, I just had such a tremendous sense that God is going to do really something magnificent. And even walking the streets of Manchester and just seeing the people's faces and get a flair for the city and being in two different churches, which are really in like spirit, that really have a heart for revival. So that's really what I've been sensing in my heart. There's just a real brooding that this city is just pregnant with revival and just with the move of God. And there's been a lot of clouds over the city, but I just feel like the Lord's saying, get your head above the clouds because He's right there and it's ready to move. So I just wanted to encourage you not to be discouraged. It's kind of like right on the edge of it, right? When you're at the horizon, it seems like it's the most darkest. But He's there and He's coming. And so just to keep praying and pray and pray until He comes and does what He wants to do in this city.
Great. And I'd like Roy to come up too. Roy, just share a little bit of what you have. And also, if you could lead us into some prayer ministry over some people regarding some of the things you had physically and then I'll add on to that, okay?
You know, Steve, it's wonderful. He says, well, why don't you get a word for the area? And whoa, get a word. And so I'm just silly enough to say, okay, Lord, I'd like to have a word. And he spoke to my heart real clearly the word empire. And we went to a Roman-walled city, Chester, and we were there, and the thought of empire just started inside me. And it was almost as though I could feel the spirit of empire just blowing in the wind. And with the little bit of rain that was coming down, it was like empire was the thought was sprinkling on me. And I had a prophetic picture of an old English gentleman sitting on a bench. And it was almost like the Lord zoomed into his temple, and I could see a vein pulsing back and forth, the pulse of life. And his skin was thin as parchment. The veins went up over his bald head, and you could see the blood coursing through the veins. And the Lord spoke to me, I believe, and he said, in the heart of every Englishman beats a heart and flows the blood of empire. And he said that he, the Emperor of Heaven, the Lord God, wants to rule and reign over the hearts of the English people. That empire is in your genes, it's in your genetic makeup, it's deep in your roots, it travels underground like an aquifer. And standing on the ground, you can almost feel the vibrations of it coming up through the ground. The Lord speaking of what he's done in the past, but more important than that, what he's going to be doing in the future. And it's clear, it's very clear to anyone who has discernment what the ruling spirit over the whole Manchester area is. You know what that spirit is? It's the Holy Spirit. He is the ruler. He rules and reigns. He's in charge. It's not the enemy. And he wants to rule over our hearts. So I just... let's pray into that for a second. Father, I just ask that you would step down from heaven and take up your throne right here in this city. Lord God, that you would be raised up as the king and the sovereign and the potentate in this land that knows how to handle a king. Lord, pick up your scepter, your diadem. Rule and reign over your people. Be raised up as the ruling spirit over this area and have empire in every heart here tonight. We give it to you. We bow our knee to your coronation and to your kingship and say, you are king. We're not. And there are no earthly rulers that can stand between your kingdom, your purposes, and what we want, Lord. We lay it down and we say, your agenda. Let your rule and your reign come right here to Salford. Let it come to Manchester. Let it reign over England and Great Britain and all the British Isles. And as far as the empire might reign, Lord God, you are the king and the ruler of all the universe, and you rule in this place. Come and bring revival to this ground, this land. Lord, we invite you. We say, take up your throne here, Lord God, and don't pass by. Oh, but take up residence here. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Well, that makes me excited anyway. Whether it does anything for you or not, that's okay. But God's doing some good things. We were praying for some healing last night, and I believe that the Lord spoke to me that there's a lot of healing that is hindered because of unforgiveness in our own hearts, and that is a barrier that some of us need to come up. We've been... At our church, Steve said last night, if we pray 1,000 times for someone to get healed, it's okay. Come on up. We'll pray the 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. We're just going to keep praying because we believe God's going to touch you. But sometimes it's not just a matter of praying because of the reason that some of you have unforgiven sins, the Word says, many are sick and some are even have even died. Some are asleep. So I think that especially in the area of the stomach, there's some people here that have had stomach problems. And I think the Lord spoke to me and said, it's because you've swallowed unforgiveness. Swallowing unforgiveness is like swallowing poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's not going to happen. When you swallow poison, you're the one that's going to get sick. So what's going to happen when you forgive the person, you can receive that healing, and it's almost to the degree that they don't deserve the forgiveness, there's a larger anointing on it. Because the people that hurt you, that you're holding, and you, many of you, I'm sure right now, you're thinking of that person, that relative, that friend, maybe it's a pastor, that you're holding unforgiveness against. To the degree they don't deserve forgiveness is the same, inversely proportionate. The less they deserve it, the more grace will be shed upon when you release that forgiveness. And I think God's going to bring healing to some people through that. Lord, I ask you to walk down the aisles right now in Jesus' name. Reach your hand out, touch. Put your finger on those places where people have been wounded. The people who wound them don't deserve deliverance, but Lord, I'm glad you don't give us what we deserve. That you give us grace, not justice. That you give us mercy. Lord, I ask that you would release mercy, an anointing of mercy to flow through. The mercy that you've given us, let it be multiplied. Let us turn around and give it again to someone who doesn't deserve it. If you think if the Lord quickened it to your heart and you think it's something that you might be experiencing, especially if it's a digestive problem, and you believe that perhaps there's someone you need to forgive, why don't you stand up right now and we're going to pray for you. Is there anyone out there like that? Would you go ahead and stand up? We're going to pray. I think God's going to give you a miracle breakthrough.
How about this? I know some people, it's true that stomach problems do come many times because of bitterness. I think Roy had a specific word on that. But what I like right now is everyone to stand who has any stomach condition right now, regardless of how you know it came or what the problem might be, we want to pray for you. In some we know we'll be released of maybe unforgiveness and things like that. But all around the room, stomach, intestines, digestive tract type problems, just stand up right now. We want to pray for you. This could be your moment for a real healing. Now, a lot of times because of unforgiveness and things, it can cause not only spiritual barriers, but just a tension within our system that really causes hindrance. And so right now, as we're just waiting on the Lord, I want you to just close your eyes, man, those of you who are standing, and see if the Lord brings someone to your mind right now. Even you might have even forgot about it. It may be kind of long buried in your life, but if someone instantly comes to your mind, that's usually an indication that there may be some unforgiveness. If nobody comes to your mind, don't worry about it. We're going to pray for your stomach anyway. Right now, as we just wait just for a moment, just see right now if anyone comes to your mind, some person that you know you've got to say, Lord, really, I release them. Lord, forgive them, Lord. You know, and seriously, you got to pray the kind of prayer that Jesus prayed that says, Lord, they don't even know what they're doing. You know, it could be a mother that has not released you, a father has not released you, a coach, a teacher, I don't know who it might be, a pastor, whatever. But in your heart right now, you've got to say, Lord, I want to release that person. Now, how many of you that are standing, someone came to your mind, just with your eyes closed, just kind of lift your hand so I can see. Put your hand around the room. Some picture, somebody's coming to your mind. That's about half of you there right now. Right now, just forgive them. Say, Lord, I forgive them for what they've done. In the name of Jesus, I release them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let it come. Just, if you even need to speak that out, sometimes even speak in their name. Lord, I forgive Jim. I forgive John. I forgive Ian. I forgive, Lord, Rebecca. I forgive that person, Lord, who's wounded me. I forgive them in Jesus' name right now. And now, Lord, in the arena of forgiveness, we ask for your healing power to begin to flow
get the Cleveland team to move throughout the group here and just gently lay hands on the heads of a number of people here until we prayed for everyone in standing. Move it quick. Some of you move toward the back there, Lord. We ask right now, as hands are being laid upon them, that there'll be a release of the fire of God in the name of Jesus. Let it come. Team, go ahead and pray some prayers. Healing virtue to the stomach, intestines, esophagus, all part of the digestive tract right now. Let the fire of God move down that digestive tract. Cleanse, free, strengthen in the name of Jesus right now. Oh, in the name of the Lord. Let your power come, Lord. Holy Spirit, come in power. Increase your waves right now upon these who have stood, in faith and with boldness and said, Lord, that could be me. And I stand up, Lord. I pray now that you'll honor their faith and that you'll move upon them, because this is not a little faith situation. It's a big faith situation, and they're exercising it right now. We speak to that mountain of hindrance to be cast into the sea in the name of Jesus. Let it come. Oh, more, Lord. Fire of God. That's right. Just a release, a full release in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just keep standing for a second, a little bit more. Let's try to let it come. More. Lord, I pray too for just a spillover from each of these that are standing and to those that are nearby. Just let healing power begin to flow. In fact, there's an atmosphere of healing right now. Those of you who need a healing, whether you stood up last night or what, doesn't matter to me. You need some kind of healing in your body, just stand up all around the room right now. We're going to pray for you and kind of include you in as we expand the sphere of healing right now. Whatever healing it might be, heads, muscles, joints, some with arthritic pain, even right now in your fingers, we speak to that in the name of Jesus. Freedom, freedom. Freedom, freedom. We speak to pain right now in Jesus' name. Be gone right now in the name of Jesus Christ right now. Be gone. We ask, Lord, for a greater release all around this room. Atmosphere of just healing. Holy Spirit, come. Reveal Jesus more. More. Some of you, I'm getting a thing too about chronic kind of headaches. The back of the head, going up the back of the head. But we speak to those migraines in the name of the Lord. It's time to cease and desist in Jesus' name right now. Right now. Something about bone spurs, I think it is, that on your heel or on your foot. Painful spurs. We speak right now, Lord, a dissolving of that in the name of Jesus. That discomfort, a problem in the feet right now in the name of Jesus. Let God's joy just begin to fill right now this room. Deep inside, a bubbling up of hope and joy. In Jesus' name, I want to come. Allergies, we speak to allergies. Those who've had difficulty. At times even breathing. Things connected to it, asthma. We speak to it right now. Respiratory problems. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. And speak, Lord, the everlasting touch of Jesus from heaven be upon you. Right now, let it come. Oh, some of you are going to be glad, so glad you stood up tonight. There's greater releases coming. Some of you are going to get 100%. Some might get 80, 50. It doesn't matter. If it's an improvement, we're glad for it. We're going to continue to ask God for more. So, Lord, let it come. More. More. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's right. Let it come. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes. Lord, I pray too. How many of you, either they're standing or not standing, you've had a difficult time sleeping at night? Just kind of wave your hand at me. Wave your hand. Okay, that's about 10 or 15 of you. I speak, Lord, to those that have had difficulty in sleeping. I pray, Lord God, that just the rest of the Lord would come on them tonight, Lord God, after the meeting. Let the rest of the Lord, the peace of God, just come upon them. I pray, Lord, tonight when their head hits the pillow, boom, they're going to just be out in the presence of the Lord. I pray, Lord, you'll give them joyful sleep, no tossing and turning, but they'll wake up refreshed like they were designed to, Lord. In Jesus' name, this is the refreshment of the Lord. There's already a peace in this place. Last night I felt it when I was here. There's something that's just like, it's like a spring, a mountain spring. If you'll go up and take a drink, you can receive the refreshment. And the spring is flowing right now. So just take a good drink of that. Good drink of that. While you're soaking in that, I'm going to switch microphones here over to the club here. Lord, rest upon each person in this room right now, just that atmosphere of just your peace to come, resting upon each person, starting from their head, reaching right down into their total being, all the way to their toes. Let's pray, Lord, rest will just kind of drain right out of their toes tonight, right through permeating their entire DNA. Every cell in their body, the rest of God. Lord speaks to you tonight, Salford, Manchester, and he says, be at peace. Be at rest, says the Lord. No strife, no stress. Don't worry about tomorrow or what it may bring, but receive now the peace of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to the book of Amos. Just going to speak a few minutes tonight, and then we want to move into some prophetic ministry. Now, I want you to understand, too, the team that we have here tonight, they're in training, too, because we don't believe you ever come out of training. You know, I've been doing this, I've been prophesying for about, oh, let's see, I started when I was 10, 33 years. But I always feel like I'm learning new things constantly. In fact, one of my biggest things is I think, come on, Steve, get with it. You know, there's things you're missing. You need to open your spirit more to what the Lord's speaking. Things are happening. People need to hear the voice of God. So I'm constantly quickening myself and saying, get with it. Get with what the Holy Spirit's doing. Because, you know, He doesn't get weary. He's awake all the time, 24 hours a day. Information coming from heaven. Like I said last night, Holy Spirit is so eager to communicate and share and reveal Jesus Christ. What I talked about a little bit last night is the whole aspect of one of the secrets of heaven is God wanting to reveal Jesus. But when Jesus is revealed, other things happen. There's some people who go, well, I just want Jesus. I don't care about all that. Well, you can't separate Him from what He does. It's part of His nature. It's part of His character. When He shows up in a room, people get healed. He doesn't have to go, oh, healing, healing. I mean, it's just there. It's part of who He is. People get delivered. You know, the power of God is so strong on Jesus, because He was God in the flesh, that when He got out of a boat, demonized people ran up to Him and bowed down and begged Him not to torment them. Like, He didn't have to go, let's see, any demonized people around here? They came right to Him. Because there's something about having Jesus move upon you. So when you get Jesus, you get it all. You get it all. You get the inheritance that the Lord has, the riches from heaven. That's what I want to look at a little bit tonight, because there are incredible secrets that God wants to release. I could tell you story after story after story. I won't. You're going to have to trust me. There's a lot of them, though. Of how God has rescued me by revealing a secret out of heaven that otherwise I wouldn't have known. In fact, I remember back in 1989, I had been in Canada for 3 years. And I'd moved from Cleveland, Ohio to Canada under a command of the Lord. I mean, I didn't kind of move to Canada. I was propelled to Canada. That's really what happened. And so I got up there, and it was a very difficult couple of years. I was planting a church in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada, way in the East Coast. In fact, it reminds me a lot of this area also. And while I was there, it had been very difficult. In fact, the first 2 years, I mentioned this the other day in training, I had 22 major and minor illnesses in the first 2 years. How many of you think you'd be ready to give up after that? I was. I mean, every day, I was praying every day, a minimum of an hour a day. I'd walk back and forth. And the more I prayed, the worse things got. It was very discouraging. And about the third year, actually, the first month I was in Canada, this door of ministry opened up in Arizona. Now, how many of you have ever been to Arizona? Anybody here? Arizona, right now, is probably about 100 degrees. It's hot. It's beautiful, Fahrenheit. It's beautiful. It's kind of flat with mountains around it, and It's kind of it's just a nice, dry, hot atmosphere. It's a vacation spot for those that live in the West. And a door opened for me to be able to go out there periodically and minister. Well, it was a nice benefit. After living in Canada, it was a little dreary and bleak and 22 major and minor illnesses in the first 2 years. So it was kind of nice to go out there and refresh about three times a year. And I was thankful for that. But something happened that I didn't count on. I fell in love with Arizona. And so in 1989, it started to be impressed upon me. And this is where you can be led astray at times if you're led by your emotions rather than what God has told you at the last point He spoke to you. Last thing He told me to do was to move to Canada and stay for 10 years. It sounded like a prison sentence, but it really wasn't that bad. And so I went there. I'm in my third year. But in the third year, I start doubting what the Lord said to me. It's like, I don't know if He said 10 years. It might have been 10 months, you know, and maybe I've stayed longer than God wants me to stay. That's the way I think, you know. And so then this offer comes from Arizona. There's a church of about 700. They needed a pastor. I knew all the people were involved there. It was a really hot situation. Great band moving into a building. All the things were laid out, and they just kind of wanted me to come and assume that. So behind the scenes, secretly, I was thinking, you know, I think that's God. I mean, that has to be God because He's a loving God. He wouldn't want me to stay here if things aren't going well. This is God's way of escape. It's His provision in the midst of a very difficult situation. How many of you know that you'd start thinking that way if you were in that situation? And I did. I started thinking about it. So secretly, behind the scenes, I'm thinking, yep, that's what I'm going to do. I talked to Cindy about it. We prayed about it. I didn't have to pray very long because I already knew it was God's will. Yes, Lord. Yeah, you know. I started getting doubts here. I'll bind that in Jesus' name. That can't be God, you know. And really, I'm binding the Holy Spirit left and right because He's trying to remind me, remember what I told you 10 years. I'll bind that. It's not God. It's not God. That can't be God, you know. And I think of Arizona, I'd even doodle, you know, with little pictures of palm trees and desert scenes and everything, you know. And I was kind of gazing and fantasizing about living out there. Had the name of the church. It'd be Desert Springs Fellowship. I'd look outside and the wind would be blowing, the snow would be falling. I'm like, Desert Springs Fellowship. Oh, Lord, You're going to release me from this. I've just got to work out, get someone kind of put in a position so they can assume this motley band of people that we have here. And the Lord can deliver me into somewhere where I can really express my gifts in a much better fashion, you know. And so I was planning this. Nobody knew it in the church. My wife and I, we were kind of heading in that direction. And I'd been out there 9 times in 3 years. I was growing more and more love. And then on this given Sunday, we had this older couple in our church, and their son-in-law was visiting our church. I didn't know anything about him. Come to find out later on, he was a prophet. I had found that out the hard way, you know. And so, you know, I have these things in my mind that nobody knows about, just me and God, you know. We're okay on it, you know. And so on Sunday morning, he shows up, and, you know, I see him in the back, and they go, oh, yeah, that's the son-in-law, you know. And that's, oh, okay, all right, I'll talk to him afterwards. And so then the meeting goes on. We finish the meeting, and I look, and I see him. He's taking a broom, and he's one of those long push brooms, you know. And he's sweeping the gymnasium floor where we were having our meeting. And I thought, well, what's unusual? He's a guest here. What's he doing that for? You know, he's sweeping. He's going back and forth, really at calm, really at peace. And I thought, well, shoot, he's going to help. That's fine, you know. And so I keep talking to people, and he's cleaning up. Finally, I go over and I said, hi, what's your name? He says, well, my name's Kevin. I said, really? And he said, yeah, I came here. I have a word of the Lord for you. Now, you know, I get that kind of stuff really fairly often. People that come, they know I'm a little prophetic. We raise up prophetic churches. And so they always have words of the Lord for me, you know. And so I'm always a little bit hesitant, like, okay, I'll write it down. Give it to me later. I'll pray over it this week. And then I'll put it in my file. That's the round file over by my no, not really. And so I you know, I'm thinking, oh, okay. I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, I don't know if this guy's a prophet, a minister. I don't know what he is. He's a guy right now that's cleaning the gymnasium floor, and that was okay. That pleased me. But he says, you know, the Lord sent me here to speak a word to you. I said, really? He says, yeah. He says, I wrote it down right here. He says, if you make the move you're thinking about, he said, you're going to go through hell. I thought, wow, there's that spirit again. I'm buying that. That's terrible, you know. Actually, it kind of grabbed my heart, and I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He says, "You know, in your heart, what you're planning to do." And I'm like, "You ever felt like cornered? It's like, well, you sure this word isn't for somebody else? And he says, you know, I'd like to meet with you for lunch tomorrow. And I thought, I think I'm busy tomorrow for lunch. I'm looking at Arizona brochures about noon. But I could feel the Lord, you know, because the Lord's always had mercy on me. He hasn't allowed me to make many serious mistakes in my life. I've been very close, really close. And on this one, the door was shut and locked, and he had a crowbar, a prophet with a crowbar going, you know, we're going to get that thing open, and you are not going to Arizona. That's what it felt like. And I could feel I was getting on this slidey downward slope where there was no way out of it. God knew me. You know, he was going to resting me right on the spot. And so later on, you know, my wife said, hey, what did that guest guy, Kevin, what do you have to say? He said, oh, he wants to have lunch with me tomorrow. Should he say anything else? And so, well, we're going to talk about at lunch tomorrow. She goes, why don't you invite him over to the house? I don't know if we want to invite him over to the house tomorrow. She goes, no, invite him over to the house. We'll make it. Bring his wife can come over and we'll chat and talk, you know. And so the next day comes. He comes over to the house. He sits there. He's being, again, real relaxed. Like, it disgusted me. He was so relaxed because he's ruining my life, you know. And he's real relaxed, and he kind of just casually was sipping on some tea, and he said, oh, Cindy, did Steve tell you about the word I had for him yesterday? She said, well, no, he didn't. And I'm kind of sitting there like, oh, I forgot about the little word. He did have a little word for us. And she said, what was it? He said, I told him that if he makes the decision, the move that he's thinking about, that he's going to go through hell. And she kind of looked at me and she says, are you thinking what I'm thinking? I said, no, I'm not thinking that at all. And, you know, the Lord arrested me and I bit the bullet, so to speak. And I decided not to go to Arizona. The interesting thing is that whole situation in Arizona collapsed. Within 1 year, that church of 700 went down to 60. 60 people. The whole thing blew apart. The guy who was involved in it out there, he ended up going out of ministry into some other things. And I looked at it, and it was like the Lord was saying, I just want you to watch this for a while. He says, because see, it's gone. It's ended. It's over. You could have been in the midst of that. So, oh, yeah, I know that. Did you know that God knows everything about your life? He sees you when you're on the computer and you just kind of look around because there's a certain website you heard about and you kind of click onto it and you look and you're like, oh, my gracious. And see, he sees all that. He knows what's going on in your mind. He sees those second glances that you make at situations. He hears those comments you make in secret where you say, well, you know, I don't want to say anything bad, but you know, it's just between you and I, and it's not that I'm talking about the person, but it's really more of a prayer concern that I have for the individual, you know, and really it's called gossip and backbiting. And the Lord isn't up there going, well, you know, there's not attorney or solicitor angels in heaven saying, no, I want to defend him. He said that he was not gossiping. No, they're all in heaven going, we know exactly what you're doing right now. Call it whatever you want. You are breaking the commands of the Lord and you're defiling his body. And so he sees all that. There's secrets all over that the Lord is wanting to reveal. But the good thing is there's excellent things in heaven that God, through his prophetic church, wants to unwrap so that we might know how we're supposed to progress ahead in God. Because I tell you, a lot of times I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what the next turn is. When I first moved to Cleveland, I told this story a couple years ago. I went there and I wanted to buy a house. We went over. We were looking at houses a lot less expensive than what we bought. And I, you know, nothing was working out. And then we got this opening to go look at this other house. I went over and looked at it. I thought, hey, I love it. I mean, what can you say? I like the house, but it's too much money. And besides, I don't have a job. I didn't have a job at that point. The Lord told me just to move to Cleveland. Didn't tell me to work or get a job, and it was kind of a difficult thing, you know. I didn't know what I was going to do. And we went to the bank. Of course, they turned us down because they said, well, Mr. Witt, you need a job. I said, really? What a novel idea, you know. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to plant a church. You know what banks think when you do that? They said, how do you, like, they're thinking, you know, a plant and in a little pot, you know, and they're like, plant a church. And so they asked me about it. They said, well, how does that work? I said, well, you know, and I explained to them a little bit of what I do. I realized later on how corny it all sounded. But anyway, it seemed right at the time. And I told them, and they're like, interesting. Now, how will this plant church pay you? I said, well, I hope that they will. And again, a bank, it doesn't bring great security to them. when you say that, you know. But see, the Lord wants to unwrap secrets, and he gave me that house. It was an incredible situation, and the bank did approve it. And so he will download stuff and secrets to give you understanding to know how to move ahead. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from where? The mouth of God. And so I'm here like, Lord, speak. I want to hear what you're saying because I can't live on anything but that which comes out of your mouth. And Lord, you've got to speak what you want to say. Now look in Amos. We are going to get there. Amos chapter 3. Look at verse 7. This is a great verse. Actually, it was kind of a popular verse about 4 years ago, if there's such thing as popular verses. Verses 7 and 8. Look, it says, surely the Lord God does nothing. Everyone say nothing.
Nothing.
We all know what that means, right? No thing. Nothing. He does nothing. That's a pretty broad statement. Unless he reveals his secret. Does it say that in your version? Plan? What's it say in any other version? Secret counsel? Anything else? We all have the same Bible. Unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, as soon as I read that, everyone excuses 98% of the people. Oh, whew, I'm not a prophet. I don't have to be dependent on hearing things from God. Well, see, the thing is, in the New Testament, it's really interesting. In the Old Testament, he anoints prophets who become his spokesman to the nations. But in the New Testament, he does this Joel 2 thing, and he pours it out on all flesh so that your sons and daughters can prophesy. What that means is now there's a prophetic people. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are a New Testament prophetic person. Say that 5 times real fast. Okay, don't fellowship. Just state that. He reveals his secrets. If you take that verse out, I'm not taking it out of context. You take it out, God reveals secrets to prophets. Obviously, in a New Testament atmosphere, he's revealing his secrets to the prophetic people. Everyone here who's prophetic, which is everybody in this room, who's given your heart and yielded your heart to Jesus Christ, can hear the secrets of God. Look at verse 8. It says, a lion has roared. Wow, interesting verse, huh? Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? But a couple years ago, we heard all these lions roaring in the church. I believe it was a prophetic manifestation. God's saying, we're roaring and prophecy are kind of coupled together in a poetic couplet. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? There's a sense of a prophetic roar that's coming out of his people, and God's revealing and downloading secrets. Now, I don't have time, but I want to encourage you when you get home, read Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, and Ephesians 3, 8 through 10, because all of those talk about this incredible download from heaven into the heart of those who are his people. In fact, the two-word phrase that's there, I can't read my own writing. It says, yes, toward us. Literally, in the Greek, it says usward. Everyone say usward. Those things in heaven, because of what Jesus did, are now usward. They come toward us. And there's a sense where the Lord's wanting to bombard our very spirit, that which heaven holds. You know, I've heard people talk, I've actually heard people speak who have been to hell and back or been to heaven and back. You ever heard one of those testimonies? Someone died, near-death experience, whatever. They were descending into hell or ascending into heaven. And the Lord, you know, it's always the same story. The Lord meets them in heaven and says, sorry, you know, I want to send you back. There's still some more things that I want you to do. You know, I mean, if I was in that position, I'd say, well, why'd you call me up here to begin with? But they never say that. They always go back. Or they get into hell. They get into hell and they just start feeling the flames licking at them, you know. And this happened to a friend of mine, Mickey Robinson. He was in an airplane crash. He was descending into hell. And just at that moment, as he's ready to go into hellfire, he felt himself, he cried out to God and said, oh, Jesus. And he started being pulled back right up back into his burnt body in the hospital room. And he tells that story. I've heard stories like that. I read a book once about a guy who went to heaven. I've heard this several times. And he was walking around with the Lord. Now, I don't know how this fits in your theology. And right now, it doesn't matter. But anyway, he was walking around with the Lord in heaven, and there were warehouses all over the place. Warehouses. And he turned to the Lord and said, Lord, what are all these warehouses? And the Lord said, these are things not yet claimed by my people. And he realized that in this warehouse over here were songs that had not yet been written by mankind. Just waiting for someone down here to unzip heaven and draw down some of that stuff out of the warehouses of heaven. Another warehouse had inventions in it that were not yet taken. Some of them had spiritual gifts and miracles. I mean, one was just full of miracles, waiting for the people of God in faith to reach up and draw down those secret things into the lives of people. Do you believe that today, that there could be something like, I don't know if it's warehouses, but I believe that all heaven has is bulging right now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He's just waiting for some people to take out a little pen and walk around and go, psh, and let the drips of heaven begin to come down. Mercy drops upon mercy drops. What would happen if over Manchester and Salford we ripped a major hole in the heavenlies and it all poured out onto the city? You know what that means? It means healing. It means deliverance. It means release. It means breaking of yokes that are upon people's backs of addictions and things like that. Relationships, people that have been separated from one another for years, all of a sudden there's a drawing to come together because of the mercy drops that come out of heaven. That's what can happen when we rend the heavens. That's what will happen when we rend the heavens. That's what has happened in the Welsh revival, in the Hebrides, and over in Azusa Street, and over in Korea, and over in Toronto, and over in Pensacola. Somehow, some way, there was a set place in time. They ripped the heavens open, and that which was in heaven came down. Jesus even prayed a prayer like that, didn't he? He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Is that a rhetorical prayer? Jesus kind of just praying a theory prayer like, well, this would sound very nice. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, you know, someday, somehow, on earth, as it is in heaven. No, he was praying heaven down on earth at that point. I don't know how this all works. He was praying for that dimension up there where there are no sick people. There's no shortage of finances at the end of the month. Do you understand that? Down here, because tomorrow's March 1st, right? We're at the end of the month. Thank God this is the shortest month of the year. But Lord, I need some of that to come down. Here, you're praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And the Lord is holding all those secrets up there. Now, I could go through this, but I don't have time again because this is a long message. And I'm making it very short because we want to minister to you in a few minutes. But I want you to look, if you get time, over in Deuteronomy 18. I want you to look, if you get time, into Isaiah 47 and 2 Chronicles 33, where it forbids you from wrong places. It talks about palm readers. It talks about soothsayers. It talks about those who are enchanters. It talks about channelers. It talks about witchcraft. And I tell you, somebody say, you know, like in the United States, we have these fairs, these kind of county fairs. I don't know if that's what you call them over here or not, you know, where they show their cows off and all this kind of stuff. And you can pay money and get your palm read. People do it. I see teenagers do it all the time, kind of as a joke. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool, you know, and interesting. And what you do is you're opening your mind and your spirit to a demonic realm because you're seeking counsel in an ungodly way. And so I tell people, if you've done anything like that, the best thing you can do right now is renounce it and say, Lord, I see the blood of Jesus Christ coming on that in my life. I know a lot of Christians that have done it. Christians that open up the newspaper in the United States. Again, I don't know if you have it here. Horoscopes are right there in the newspaper. I was amazed when I went to Iceland. You could get the daily reports of the little people, the little gnomes, what their activities were. They actually speak them out on the radio in Reykjavik so that you understand, know where the little people are each day. And in fact, I was told by Icelandic people that they've actually diverted some of their highways around these places where it's known that these little people live, these invisible little people, really evil spirits. And they're so concerned about them that the government will actually divert a highway around there because they don't want to disturb the little people. They're concerned about that. And there's people that are enticed by this and interested in it. And if you move in that direction, if you've used a Ouija board or anything like that, you sought those kinds of, the Lord specifically speaks against that and you're opening something in your life. Why? He wants you to go to one person. Him. He holds the keys. He holds the riches of heaven. And he says, if you'll just reach up with the key and begin to unlock the riches of heaven, You are going to be amazed that which He will download in your life. And the Bible gives us all kinds of ways to do that. One is giving, and I'm not talking about giving tonight, but when you give, you literally unlock heavens. It says that in Malachi. It says it in Luke. And it comes down, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In fact, it says in Malachi, it's going to be more than you need. And if you learn to tithe and give of your offerings, it rips a hole in heaven. And He says, you know what He says? I just preached on this a week ago at our church back in Cleveland. He says, this is the only place in the Bible, He says, prove me in this. It's like a challenge. He throws down the gauntlet. And He says, I dare you to give. You give and you watch what I'm going to do to you. And He opens the heaven and He pours it down. It's a secret. It's a key. It opens the heavens and it brings the secrets of heaven down into your life and provision down into your life. Now look with me over in, where do I want to go now since I'm totally messed up? Daniel. Look in Daniel. Daniel chapter, let's look at chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, an interesting story here. And I just want to share this story quickly and tell you how I think it applies to Manchester, Salford area. A king named Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. That's what chapter 2 is all about. In fact, look at verse 1. It says, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. And his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Too bad. If he's here tonight, we'd have prayed for him. But he was troubled. You ever had a spiritual dream? Troubled you? Wow, what does that mean? I mean, it bothers me that we can have things like that and not know what they mean. I get them fairly often, and you feel like you're now on this trek. You got to figure it out. Like, what does that mean, Lord? I know it's from you. Tell me what it means. It's like the parables. He told parables all the time, and the disciples would be in the background saying, what did He mean by that? What did He mean by that? What did He mean by that? All through the New Testament, through the Gospels, you see him constantly. I don't know what he said. What manner of man is this? What is it that, what does he mean? What is it that he has spoken? There's this constant thing of the Lord wanting you to come in and understand what he's trying to communicate to you. And Nebuchadnezzar is troubled by it. He can't sleep at night. So he calls in all of his astrologers, all of his magicians and everybody else. And he says, you know, I gotta know. Now these guys were employed to do that. They were employed to determine to give him direction, and they were receiving their resources from evil sources. They were drawing it from evil places, from the devil. But then there's Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, these guys who were kidnapped out of Israel at somewhere around age 14, taken about, I don't know, 700-800 miles away, forced to change their name, forced to shave their head and shave their beard, which was almost forbidden among Jews, and to take on a whole new name and learn a new language and not worship their gods. And you know the story of Daniel. There they are in this position. But Daniel, because of his prowess of who he was in God, was in a position where he was with the other magicians in helping the dreams, the king interpret his dreams. So here's this king, but this time he makes it a little more difficult. You talk about I do prophetic activations everywhere I go. I get people up and get them learning to hear God and speak what God is saying. I love doing that. I love doing it myself. I love being involved because it stretches you. If we had time here tonight, we'd let everyone do that. Everyone's going, phew, glad we don't have time tonight to do that. But we like activating people. Well, Nebuchadnezzar lays out a prophetic activation here. You know what he does? He calls it, now imagine being in a line. You're employed by the king. And your job is to help the king interpret his dreams. Help him get direction. So he'll come in with a dream. He'll show his dream. You'll get with your magician buddies and you say, what do you think it was? I don't know. I think that cow represented the king in the other land there and he fell over. So I'd say that probably means that Nebuchadnezzar will triumph over the king. Yeah, all right. Give me five, And then he goes up to the king and say, dear king, we've thought about it. We've consulted our sources. We believe that cow in your dream last night was the king in the other land there and you're going to destroy him. And the king would go, oh, okay, I like that. See, they only gave him interpretations that he would like. You don't tell a king a bad interpretation, So this day he comes in, they're like, oh, the king had another bad dream. They could tell. He's there, and he says, look, I need an interpretation for my dream. I'm troubled. So he lines them all up. They're all there. And he says, I want you to interpret my dream. And they're like, okay, well, this will be easy. We do it 100 times a year. We'll just come out with an interpretation. He'll be okay for a few more days so he has another bad dream. They start down the line. And the king goes, no, wait a minute. So we're going to do a little bit different this time. He says, this time, I not only want you to interpret my dream, but I want you to tell me what the dream was. And if you don't tell me what the dream was, I'm going to kill you. Can you imagine that? Like, what if I had a .357 pistol, Magnum, in my hand? This is our activation tonight. Line all the prophetic people up and say, okay, I had a dream last night. And I want you to interpret the dream. I mean, you'd be going, tell me what the dream was. No. No, I want you to give me the dream and the interpretation. And if you don't, you're dead. And I go, you have 30 seconds. They'd be like, well, it was about a beautiful woman in Hawaii, or I don't know. No, 15 seconds. It was about your pet dog. You know. Okay, next. You have 30 seconds. And people, it's about your wife, about your 323rd wife, and that she, Now, if you're about seventh or eighth down the row, you're gonna be going, oh, God, help me, what's the... And Daniel was doing that, we find out right here. And the king comes to him and he says, oh, dear king. He said, I like to sleep on it. And believe it or not, the king gave him permission. He says, right down here in verse 17, 18, he says that okay, you can go to sleep on it. Verse 19, it says, while he slept, look at verse 17. It says, Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his companions, verse 18, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret. Now, can you imagine that prayer meeting that night? Oh, God, hallelujah. Lord God, we never needed you before. We need you now, Lord. He's gone nuts. He's killing people, Lord. We need the interpretation. Oh, we don't just need the interpretation. We need the dream, Lord. You got to use the dream. And so he's going on here in verse 18. It says, oh, God of heaven, concerning this secret. It's a secret. See, only God knows it. It's a secret thing. He says, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish. See, they told him, so our lives are on the line here with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Look at verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. I think that's kind of humorous, actually. You notice it's not a dream. He wasn't sleeping that night. He was there like this. And a night vision came to him because he'd been up all night. And then that night vision, he says, the secret is revealed to Daniel in the night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. That is one of the most major understatements I think that's in the Bible. He was like, oh, yes, yes, yes. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, I got it, you know. In verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God. Look, it's right there. Forever and ever. Do you get more of the emotion of this verse now? For wisdom and might are yours. That's the time you really want to thank God at that point. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in darkness and light dwells in him. Verse 23. And I thank you and praise you, O God, my Father. You've given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. Isn't that amazing? He goes in the next day. He goes up, the king's there with his .357 Magnum. How was your sleep last night, Daniel? I didn't get a whole lot. But I got a vision. And he starts to explain to him his dream, and guess what? He was right. Look at verse 28. It says, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. That's what Daniel said. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the vision of your head upon your bed. The vision of your head upon your bed. That's pretty good. Were these. And he lays it out before him. What happened? Well, he gets exalted above everyone else. Why? Because he was able to tap in to the secrets of heaven. I want to tell you something in closing here. Did you know all around this city tonight, there's people that have things hidden in their lives. They are waiting. They don't even realize it. The Bible says creation groans for the sons of God to come forth. There's a groan within the nations right now saying, where are the sons of God? Come forth. There's a sense that they're waiting for us to get our act together so we can tap into the Lord for them and unlock their hearts with the secrets of heaven. You know, just recently, back in October, the Lord took me through it was about a 2 to 3 week period of compressed secrets being revealed into my heart. It was the weirdest thing I've experienced in several years. It happened I think it's about 7 or 8 times I had situations arise where the Lord revealed weird things in situations that I walked through in order to show me that He had a lot that He wanted to empty out into my spirit. He was just giving me a little drip out of the warehouses of heaven, you know. He was revealing to His prophet the secrets that were there, one of His prophetic people. And one day I have a motorbike, and I was getting ready to get on my motorbike and go for a ride. And I like riding through the parkways and things like that. And the guy across the street had moved in just a few weeks prior to that, about 4 or 5 weeks. And I had noticed when he moved in, we'd greeted them and everything. He was a Catholic man, not given to the Lord, but a good man, a Catholic man. He'd moved from the inner city out to where we lived, kind of like where we're staying out in Bolton, out that way. It was kind of a little far out there. And he had just moved out, didn't know anybody. But he had a black motorbike, like my black motorbike. And so he used to yell across the street and say, "Hey, we're going to have to go for a ride sometime." I said, "Yeah, we'll do that, you know." And then one day I got on my bike, I pulled out the end of the driveway. He's raking in the front lawn, you know. And I yelled over and I said, "Hey, Mike." I said, "Do you want to go for a ride?" He said, "Just give me a minute." And he ran inside, he changed, went upstairs, came down, and he's in there. He gets his bike going, he pulls out the end of the street, and we join together and we start moving down the road toward the end of the street. And what I didn't know was God was moving me through a prophetic parable right at that point. I didn't understand that until later. I just thought I was going for a motorbike ride. And so I'm going down the end of the street. We get to the end of the street. I leaned back, looked at Mike, and I said, "So, Mike, you want to go left down to the parkway, or you want to go right out around the lake?" And he knew where I was talking about, Hinkley Lake. It's just a pretty lake about 15 minutes from where we live, and it's a nice motorbike ride. And so he said, "I don't care." I said, "Okay, let's go to Hinkley Lake." And I turned right, and boom, he goes out after me, you know. We went out there, and we circled around the lake. And this is the weirdest thing, and I don't know how God does this, but this is what happened to me. As we circled the lake, I started getting hungry for a milkshake. And so I thought, well, I'm going to see if Mike wants to go get a milkshake. So we pull up the next stop sign. I lean back. I said, "Hey, Mike, you want to go get a milkshake?" He said, "I don't care, whatever." I said, "We'll go up to North Royalton," which is another community. And I said, because there's a neat shake shop there. I said, "Well," and I grew up right by that shake shop. I knew it well. I love their milkshakes. And he said, "Yeah, whatever." So we go heading up toward the shake shop. We get to the shake shop. We park our bikes out front, which is the appropriate thing to do. You want to sit, you want to look at your bike, you know, and you talk about your bikes. We're sitting there. We both had milkshakes. We're talking about our bikes and everything. And so I'm just trying to make conversation. I really hadn't had an in-depth conversation with him since he'd moved in. I said, "So, Mike, tell me, is this your first time here at this shake shop?" And he says, well, he said, "You know, it's the strangest thing." He said, "You know, my father's been dead about 20 years." He said, "But one of the only memories I have of my father is he used to take me out around Hinkley Lake and then bring me to this shake shop for a milkshake." And all of a sudden, chills just went all down my back. And I thought, oh my gracious, this is a divine appointment. God has secretly unveiled something here. And so for the next 20 minutes, he told me his life story. He went in such in-depth that he kept apologizing, saying, "I don't even know why I'm telling you this stuff." I said, "Mike, I'm a minister. It's okay." He said, "Oh, yeah, right." And he would tell me some more. And he kept telling me more, and he revealed. And the Lord used that little incident as a key. That same week, I could tell you all 8, but I'm not going to tell you because of time. But the same week, about 2 days later, one of my daughters was going on a special date with a young man, and she was all dressed up. And the neighbors to my right, this guy was the one across the street with the motorcycle, but my neighbors to the right, they came over to take some pictures of my daughter, you know, just to, we're getting close to one another, get to know one another. They got some pictures, and they came over, and the guy that lives there, he's kind of a casual kind of guy. He never dresses up, really. When they came over, though, they were dressed up. And so as they were walking out the door, I made comment. I said, "Hey, where are you guys going all dressed up?" And he looked back and said, "We're going to the racetrack, going to the horse races, you know." And so as a joke, I said, "Well, put some on number 8 and the 7th for me." And they kind of laughed, chuckled. He knows I'm a minister, and he thought it was kind of funny. So they go to the racetrack. They get to the racetrack, you know, and they're going through 1st race, 2nd race, 3rd race, up to 6th race. They're in the 7th race. He turns over to his wife and says, "Hey, what was that horse that Steve said to put money on?" And she said, "I think it was number 8 in the or seventh and seven in the eighth or eighth and the seventh. I forget which it was. Eight and the seventh. He goes, well, let's see. They look down the list of horses. Number eight, the name of the horse was Unshakable Faith. Later on, when he told me the story, he said, man, it was creepy. He said, I looked at my wife. She looked at me. He said, we spent that whole race going back through the program because there's like 12 races. He said, we looked at every horse, something like 120 horses that were listed in there. And he says, you know the weird thing? It was the only horse with a religious name. He said, but the horse didn't win. And I said, well, maybe God was trying to say something else to you. He said, well, yeah. He kind of chuckled nervously and went on to the back home to his house, you know. And I looked at it, I thought, God, were you in that? Did you do that? Are you planting a seed? Was there something that opened up heavens and downloaded some kind of a secret revelation here? Lord, are you working on it? And I tell you, day after day after day, he was working on them, opening the doors. Is it possible that here in this Manchester, Salford area right now, that God was looking for people that'll reach up in heaven and say, Lord, does this key work? I want to unlock some stuff for my coworkers. I want to unlock some things for my neighbors. Lord, I want some secret information, because you know why? A lot of them are troubled, just like Nebuchadnezzar was. They're walking around and they're perplexed. They don't understand what their life means. They don't even understand some things that have happened in their life, what has brought them to the point they are, what their destiny is in life, what their gift is in life. They don't know because they don't talk to the Creator. The Creator designed them specifically, and they need someone to help show them the owner's manual and say, you know what? Look at page 23. Here's what it says. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a key that will unlock someone's door. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. If we could get our worship band to come up. And I'm going to switch mics again back to this other mic. Okay. Just with heads bowed and eyes closed just for a second. We're going to pray for every believer here in this room tonight who wants prayer. Our team is ready. They are pumped and ready to go. They're encouraged. They're ready to prophesy, speak. And they're going to be actually asking the Lord to unlock some secrets from heaven for each person here tonight. Some of you may be very specific, others might be a little bit general, but it's gonna be powerful in that it can change your life. If you'll come and engage with faith, God will do that for you. But before we do that, I just want to ask in this room tonight, if there's anyone here who's not given your heart to Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something. You cannot know God's plan for your life, and he has one, until you yield yourself totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, you know, I kind of believe in God. I mean, I believe in Buddha and Hinduism and all that. You know, Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to get in was through him. Now, you hear that and you say, but that's a little bit narrow-minded. You know, Jesus knew that. And he even said the way is narrow. Wide is the way to destruction, but narrow is the way to life. He knew it was narrow. That's why it's a stumbling block to so many people, because it's through Jesus Christ and only through Jesus Christ that you can have eternal life. And you're here right now and you do not know Jesus Christ. You've never come to a place where you prayed and said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Because the Bible says that we're all born into sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You are heading toward death right now. But God can buy you a ticket into eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you'll just open your heart and say, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. I believe in Jesus. Simple statements like that made in faith will engage your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can become what the Bible calls born again. So let's just wait just for a moment in the Lord. I just ask for the Spirit of God to begin to just move right now over this congregation. Because I know there's some here tonight. Have not given your heart to Jesus. You're not here by accident. Do you know this is a divine appointment that you're here tonight? You thought you came just because a friend invited you or kind of stumbled upon it or just wanted to check it out or whatever. You had no intentions giving your heart to Jesus, but guess what? God knew. And the Lord sent me here tonight to stop right now at this point and say, he's seeking you. Remember what I said last night? How we're seeking to find the Lord? Well, guess what? Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Right now, His spotlight of heaven is shining down on you. He's seeking you out right now. This could change your life. Your life will never be the same after this night. If you'll take a step of faith and say, I want to believe in Jesus Christ, all around this room, if that's you, I want you to take a step of boldness right now. And where you are, I want you to stand up. Stand up where you are. And by standing up, you're saying, I want Jesus Christ in my life. You might be a backslider, somebody who came to the Lord, but you've been away from God. You've been sampling things that you know you shouldn't be touching. You've been getting your counsel from the wrong places. The Father's looking on the horizon right now. He's speaking, calling forth to you, saying, come home, my son. Come home, my daughter. If that's you right now, all around this room, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, or you've been away from the Lord, just real quick, I'm going to take about 30 more seconds. I want you to stand up quickly, and I'm going to pray for you. I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. See God touch you so you can leave here with guilt broken off of your shoulders, shame broken off of your life, and a sense of freedom and destiny in Jesus Christ. All around this room, anyone, I don't want to miss anybody. Stand up real quick. Just a few more seconds. You feel your heart pounding? That's the Holy Spirit. He's urging you. He's prodding you, saying, respond. Give your heart to me. I long for you. Just stand where you are right now, and I'm going to pray for you real quick, please. I just want to pray for you. Anyone in this room right now? Okay. Let's all stand together. What I'd like to do now is we're going to take a time for some ministry here. We're going to pray for everyone in the room who wants prayer. Now, if you don't want prayer, that's okay. We're not going to force it on anybody. You're invited to stay and watch or be a part of it that way. We'd ask, though, if we could remove this first section. I guess it's, what, six or seven rows here on both sides. If we could stack these up, put them against the wall. Want to make a little room to minister? Okay, here's what we're going to do. If I could ask our team kind of stand across the front here like we've been doing. Just kind of across the front here real quick, team members. Here's the way we've been doing this. It's been working real well. Roy, you might want to move over a little bit, make some room. Can everybody hear me okay? This doesn't sound very loud. Okay, we've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams here. Some of them are individuals, some of them are grouped as teams. In just a minute, we're going to ask you to stand in front of one of these team members in rows, just like you would kind of at a grocery store or something like that. And you're waiting in line. And what we're going to do is I'm going to give them some time. The way we've been doing is they wait on the Lord. I don't give them much time because they've come ready. And then you're going to step up, and they're going to spend a minute and a half or so speaking over you. They're going to get right to it. They're going to proclaim some things. They're not really here to engage in a conversation, so you don't have to tell us anything. You don't even have to tell us if you're sick or what's going on. Let's ask the Lord to reveal what He wants to reveal through them tonight. Now, they're not going to correct you. They're not going to rebuke you. They're not even probably going to give you any direction. Their whole focus is to encourage and strengthen you here tonight. That's the focus. And they're asking for an impartation to come upon you as we pray for you. Once we prayed for you, you can be dismissed if you want, or you can kind of hang around. The musicians are going to keep just kind of playing worship songs in the background quietly. And we're going to keep ministering to people until we prayed for everyone that we can pray for tonight. So if you just come forward and begin to stand, form lines right in front of the teams here. Roy's one line here. Rita's a line here. Dave, just raise your hand. Team members, so they can see real clear. Just form straight lines. Here's a team. Here's a team right here. Steve is a team right over here by himself. I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter who you stand in front of. They're all excellent. They've been trained. They've been equipped. They hear from God. And so we're going to release them. We're going to pray over them in just a minute. We've got about probably, I'd say, 15 people in a line. So we're going to take about a minute, 15 seconds, team members. I'll give you a 15-second warning. We need to move fast because we want to touch everybody in this room tonight. We don't want to leave anybody out. First of all, though, let's pray for the team members up here. Lord, I ask for release to come upon them in the name of Jesus. Your power would come upon them in Jesus' name. The Lord, like Daniel, cried out that night. He said, Lord, reveal the secrets from heaven. Open those warehouses, Lord, for individuals in these lines right now. I pray you'll unlock some hearts here tonight. And the Lord, great peace is going to come from heaven. Great joy is going to come from heaven. And just the love of God is going to fill this room. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll just take a few seconds, team members, kind of wait on the Lord. We'll move to our first person here in just a moment. Okay, you may begin with the first person. That's right. Speak it out. Encouragement. Don't forget impartation. Okay, 15 seconds. 15 seconds. All right, time's up. Thank you, team members. Thank you for those who've come forward. If you could just step aside a little bit, we're going to move to the next person. Move to the next person. Team members, if someone's being touched, just kind of move on down the row there and go to the next person. Either way, all right? Should be a new person standing in front of you now. Just wait on the Lord for a moment. Just wait on the Lord for a moment. Okay, you may begin. Fifteen seconds. Okay, time's up. Thank you. We just seal that word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Move on to the next person. Should be a new person standing in front of you. Just a few seconds. Wait on the Lord. A few seconds. While we're waiting on the Lord, we believe that God can cram in the essence of what really needs to be said in a short period of time. Rather than giving everyone 15, 20-minute prophecies, we're asking the Lord to give us quick stuff that will touch and impact you in a certain area of your life. So here we go. Ready? Begin. Fifteen seconds. Okay, time's up. We move to the next person. Thank you for getting in line. We're going to move to the next person real quick. Steve, next person. Just a few seconds to wait on the Lord. That's right, Lord. Release your power. Release your power. In Jesus' name. Okay, you may begin. Fifteen seconds. Okay, time's up. We can move aside. We'll move on to the next person. Thank you for coming. We hope that ministered to you. Let's move on to the next person in line. Let's take a few seconds on the clock here to wait on the Lord. Okay, ready? Begin. Fifteen seconds. Okay, time's up. Time's up. If you could step aside, we'll move on to the next person. Christine, Linda, if you could back up a little bit. Move on to the next person here. So everybody move forward in the line, so we've got plenty of room. We're going to start in just a moment. Everybody ready? Okay, you may begin. Seconds. Okay, time's up. Move to the next person, please. Move on to the next person. Standing in front of you. We'll start here in just a moment. Just wait on the Lord. Let it come. Okay, you may begin. Person. Thank you for coming. Lord, just seal that word. Bless them, Lord. Just wait a moment. Start on this new person in front of you right now. That's right. Just wait on the Lord. Okay, you may begin.